Line, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. And joining us now is Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Hutton, happy Wednesday. Happy to have you on. Hello, Hutton. Happy to have you. Titans were out in the field yesterday for OTAs. Kevin Byard was a no-show. What is your take on Kevin Byard not being there after a couple of months of, you know, talk about his contract, Rand Carthon coming out and saying that he did ask Kevin Byard for a pay cut? What's your take on him not being there?
So can I just jump on a soapbox real quick?
Of course.
Am I allowed, Caroline?
The floor is yours.
Okay. So I understand why.
It all depends on what type of soap it is.
Well, hang on. Hang on, D-Mace. As a former player, Willie is going to stand up and give me a standing ovation like Martin Scorsese at Cannes in a moment. Okay?
Okay.
OTAs. When is the last time we have referenced OTAs in any regular season? So-and-so didn't show up. So-and-so looked great. Oh, Mike Vrabel's pissed off at Christian Fulton, but he's okay with Kevin Byard not being there. When have we ever mentioned anything about voluntary OTAs? This CBA, the collective bargaining agreement, the players' union is the weakest in the four major sports in the country. The one thing they point to is the fact that they have voluntary OTAs. But apparently, the media corps shows up. I'm not talking about this market. It's every market. We are being used. We take attendance on behalf of the team for voluntary OTAs. So I don't care who's there, who's not there. Show up and ball out or don't. And Kevin Byard will. Christian Fulton won't. That's how it's going to be. And that's why Mike Vrabel's upset. He knows that Byard doesn't need to be there because Byard is accountable. Meanwhile, Christian Fulton will pull a hammy in week one and – I'm sorry, did they draft a backup quarterback and a backup running back? Yes, they did. Did they address corner? No, they didn't. And that's on Vrabel and the front office. That's where I come down on this. And give me the soapbox again next week because we will be complaining about whoever's there and not there. And all I'm saying is we're taking the role. Imagine, just close your eyes for a moment and imagine if your church took attendance on Wednesday night service when the doors are open. That's what voluntary OTAs are. And we treat this like it's mandatory. It's not. And the team has, every team, the league has everyone, you know, running circles on who's there and who's not there when it really doesn't matter. This is glorified workouts. I went on Channel 5 Sunday night talking about pushing sleds. Think about that.
It's sled season.
And I'm thinking, like, sled season.
With no snow.
And they're barely allowed to do more than that right now. Like, this is the time of the year where the players actually have power. During the season, they don't. Yesterday, they didn't when the owners took a vote about flexing Thursday night football. But yesterday, if they don't want to show up and, you know, run routes, okay, it's all good. Because That's in the collective bargaining agreement.
I'm giving you the standing ovation, but it's the way the league is covered, right? It's the popularity of the league. It's the starvation for news. That's really what it is. I mean, I think of it this way too, Hud. It's like nobody remembers if a guy who's a really good pitcher and he's having a really good year or a really bad year on June 15th. Nobody can remember if he had a good spring training or a bad spring training. But you know, if a guy has a terrible start in spring training, you know, in certain markets, I'm sure it's news. In other markets, like, if do you pick your pitchers in the fantasy league based on their spring training numbers? Or no, absolutely not. You're not paying any attention at all in most cases, right? Unless you're a total junkie and you're overanalyzing, right? But that's what we do for the football offseason. We overanalyze.
Sure, and I'm guilty of this too. Like, I would be over.
We all are, right?
But the talk across the league, like, if you just go to NFL.com or if you go to, you know, Saints coverage or 49ers coverage, it will be about who's not there. And I'm simply saying, who cares? Because no one reporting this stuff is going to mention it in week one of September. It just does not happen. And we glossed over the fact that Jeffrey Simmons had a sit-in. You know, he sat inside this the facility on mandatory minicamp, but we didn't mention that during the season. Like it's all fluff on behalf of the NFL when the players who, by the way, Mace, the players who agree to this collective bargaining agreement, this is the time to actually flex a muscle, and they're doing it. Hopefully, Christian Fulton's not pulling one.
Yeah, I hope he's not either. But in essence, but okay, because we did discuss this in regards to Fulton, and you tell me how you feel. It's not black and white with Fulton with me. Kevin Byard, it is. It's Kevin Byard's put in the time.
Yeah,
they know that when he comes and he's there, he's locked in. He's ready to ball. He's proven it from day one. The minute he got drafted, he proved it. He was going to be that type of guy, and he has been. So him not being there to me is it really means nothing in a sense.
Well,
so to me,
that's a bigger story, though.
But it's black
and
white.
It's a bigger story, though, because he's the team guy. He was asked to take a pay cut because they – again, it's all perception's reality to me. They went to him to take a pay cut, Mace, because he's a team guy.
Exactly.
He's always there. He's a leader. Hey, man, take this pay cut on behalf of the team. Nope. I'll use the Vrabel analogy. Nope.
No, you're right about that. But I told Caroline and Willie, I said two things can exist for me in regards to Kevin Byard. He can, you know, not be here, and I'm cool with it. You know, as you get older, guys, you know, things change for guys on how they view everything. And maybe he wants to spend a little bit more time with his family. Maybe he wants to work outside the building, and he doesn't feel like, okay, OTAs, I really don't have to be there. I understand I have been there, but I am going to – I've already communicated this with Vrabel. I'm going to do what I need to do, but I will be there. But also he can be saying, listen, you know, that was – I'm disappointed that y'all asked me to take a pay cut too. I'm not upset. I don't dislike the organization. I don't dislike Vrabel or Rand Carthon. I'm just disappointed that after what I've done for this organization and – that's the thinking that needs to change for all players. What I have done for this organization, you shouldn't come to me and ask me of all people for a pay cut. So I get both sides of it, and both sides can sort of live in the same space. But with Kevin Fulton, that's why I said it's black and white with me with Kevin Byard. But with Fulton, it's a little bit different because for the last 3 years, I've done everything that y'all have asked me to do. I've been here. I've worked out, I've did all this stuff, but each year I always end up with a soft tissue injury. I don't know how, I don't know why, I'm not blaming it on the trainers, I'm just saying I always end up with soft tissue injuries. So this year, my contract year, because if I got hurt, no matter what, y'all gonna cut me. That's just the way it is. So this year, I'm going to try something different. And in trying something different, I hope he relayed that and communicated that with Vrabel. Vrabel probably didn't like it because judging by his answer, he did communicate that with Vrabel. And whatever Vrabel said, it didn't hit home with Fulton. And he's sort of upset that Fulton's not here. But I understand why Fulton's not here because he's like, listen, man, I've tried it your way for 3 years. Tell me, if you tried it 3 years the company's way and it seemed and it's not working, aren't you then going to say, hey, listen, let me try something different? You know, because either way, if it don't work, whether I'm here or not, y'all going to get rid of me. So I might as well try and do it my way and see if it helps.
Okay, so I'm with you. And for the record, it doesn't matter if Christian Fulton told Vrabel or not. Mm-hmm. Like, this is his time of the year where it's, again, voluntary. I'm putting this in, like, air quotes for everyone. Voluntary. But everyone's taking attendance. And Christian Fulton is the headline, just like Christian Fulton was the headline at the end of the season press conference when Vrabel mentioned the soft tissue injuries and said, oh, it's on these guys who are doing things. You just mentioned, you went through everything, Mason. It was well said. Guess who else was mentioned? David Long. And guess who's not here? David Long. But Christian Fulton's back, and now it's on Vrabel and Rand Carthon. It's not on Christian Fulton. They got rid of David Long. They didn't give him an offer that was better than the cheap offer he got to leave. But on behalf of Christian Fulton, he can do whatever he wants to right now. And I'm not going to put him in the headlines for it because did they draft a player to mm-hmm. to potentially add depth for the guy who's going to pull a hammy? No, they did not. That's on them. That's not on Christian Fulton. They got rid of the linebacker who did that because they let him walk on a cheap offer that I was surprised that he didn't get more than what he thought he was going to get on the open market. But did they draft a player to help the injury situation behind Christian Fulton when he gets hurt? No. And is he there? No. And is Vrabel upset? Sure. And but again, like, wake me up at minicamp when it's mandatory, because right now, as long as this dude's in shape, I don't care what he's doing or if he's at OTAs where they can barely catch a pass based on the collective bargaining agreement.
More with Jonathan Hutton coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game and the Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. And joining us now is Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow.
All right. Let me ask you about the new rule about the third quarterback. And yep. I apologize if I didn't catch this, if somebody asked Vrabel about it yesterday. But do you think this changes the thinking a little bit on what to do with the three guys? And does this give Malik Willis a little more hope, a little more runway to prove that he belongs in the league?
So I've gone back and forth on this, and I'm curious if we just take around the room what we would do. Because week one, I'm keeping two quarterbacks on my roster. This is for the playoffs. This is for insurance. And what I mean is, so if I've got a guy on my practice squad and I want to elevate them, by the way, the 49ers could have done that and chose not to, but the rule is made so that we don't get that same situation where Brock Purdy is in the game but can't throw a pass. I'm not using a third quarterback on my roster because that's the key here. The guy you're going to designate as the emergency quarterback, used to, you could just designate a guy and he really didn't count against you. He was just an extra guy. But he can be inactive, but he's got to be an active roster player during the week. So my quarterback is going to be on the practice squad. But on game day, I'm either elevating him or I'm not based on injury. And then when I say playoffs are on the line, it's November, December, January. That's when, if I need that spot, I will elevate that player to my active roster and cut somebody. Because I think the other spots are way too valuable earlier in the season, because I don't think it happens often enough to where I'm keeping three quarterbacks and using that roster spot for someone who's never going to play even on special teams. So I do think it matters. It just doesn't matter throughout the entire season. I think you have to be very strategic about when you use it. And I think Malik Willis is a practice squad player who, you know, eventually will earn a roster spot because of this rule. And by the way, if you're elevated or if he's claimed off another roster, if another team claims him, he's got to be active for 3 weeks. That means if another team tried to pick him up, the Titans would add him to their roster, in my opinion, and he would have to be on that roster for 3 weeks mandatory. He's inactive, and then you can make him the emergency quarterback. But I'm not using it, Willie, until late in the year, because I don't think – oh, and when I say late in the year, by the way, unless you have an injury situation where you think it's dire.
That's natural, right? That's...
But I'm not – I think the other spots are too valuable on any given Sunday to use it on a guy who's never going to play, personally.
Well, that's kind of what I've been thinking is, since COVID, they've made it a lot easier to shuffle guys up from the practice squad to the active roster, shuffle guys down from the active roster to the practice squad, and – it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of poaching from the other teams.
No.
It's almost like, hey, we got our 65 or whatever the number ends up being. You know, if you don't mess with ours, we're going to not mess with yours unless we just really love a guy. Like, it's almost like you have an expanded roster without people really knowing it. So it sounds to me like what you're saying is you're risking the third quarterback. In this case, it's Willis. He's going to spend most of the time on the practice squad. And then late in the week or whenever you make these decisions, you decide if you want him to be one of your guys you activate and then designate, right? But you're risking losing him if anybody wants to grab him. Is that fair?
Yes, but
like I'm curious how all the teams look at this, right?
Let me clarify real quick, Mace and Willie. So this deal, you cannot elevate your emergency quarterback on Saturday like the Titans would do for like their practice for their practice squad guys who are going to play special teams. You can't elevate that player and then send them back to the practice squad. This guy has to be on your 53. He can be inactive on game day, but he's got to be on your 53 going into that week.
Well, why don't they just make everybody do it then?
I mean,
make everybody do it. You're carrying three quarterbacks.
It is a rule for TV. That's what it is. They flex Thursday Night Football for Amazon because they're paying $1 billion. They put this rule back into place for quote unquote integrity of the game. That's what they pointed to. And I understand why. It's because Brock Purdy couldn't throw a forward pass. But that's on the 49ers. They had two quarterbacks and they didn't at the time they chose to release a guy. I think it was Fromm who was on their practice squad. They cut him in like week 17. That's on them. But they made a rule to where now going into the postseason, it's a postseason rule. It's when all the eyeballs are on this team, you don't have to do a wildcat scenario. Although, if I'm just going to run a third quarterback, if I'm getting down to Malik Willis, you might as well just run a wildcat. And I'm just snapping it directly to Henry.
Well, yeah, I think the league has always been reactive. They've never been. They haven't.
No doubt.
They're not in the business of being proactive. There are some leagues that are proactive, and this league tends to wait for things to happen, then they react to it. Looking at, and I want to answer your question, Willie, about the poaching of other players. I think it doesn't happen as much because a lot of those guys typically are young guys, first-year guys going in their first year, just finished up their first year, and they haven't shown enough, so they throw them on a practice squad, and teams are not in the business. You know, because very seldom do you see a veteran guy. Like, it was just so happened that Dobbs was on the Lions practice squad. He's a fifth-year guy. He's played in some games. Typically, you're not seeing that. You're seeing younger guys that haven't played much or at all in the NFL. So why am I going to get him from that team? Because he's on the practice squad because he hasn't developed yet. Well, Dodd, he was sort of that. One of few guys that has played in some NFL games, has shown a little bit, but then we're going to put him on a practice squad just in case. The Titans were lucky to have that situation, you know, for them that Dobbs was on a practice squad.
Yeah, and that was a desperate situation, as we know. But, Hutt, I guess what I'm hearing you say, though, is a team could choose to just do it the way they've always done it and just keep – they don't have to do this. When I thought the rule was put in just so that it ensured – that you would have three quarterbacks every Sunday. So you're saying a lot of these teams may choose not to do it if it's not if their roster dictates that.
I'm not that smart, Willie, as you know.
It wasn't clarified very well when they announced this rule. We were a little confused.
The emergency quarterback, as we knew it, when they got rid of this, it was different. He was active, but he wasn't active, meaning like. You only had what, six or seven players on the practice squad then. Now they've got 16. Point being, like, as long as the player is on your 53, not your practice squad, but your 53, he can be the emergency quarterback, but he's got to play quarterback. He can't play another position. And if he enters the game, but then someone else gets cleared to re-enter the game, that guy goes back to the bench and he's not eligible to play. That's all fair. But I'm not using a roster spot in the middle of the season if I've got two healthy quarterbacks. I'm not using a roster spot on a third quarterback.
I see what you're saying. So the rule should be it's your 54th guy.
Mm.
Your third
be.
Quarterback is it's your 54th not. Guy, and it should be mandatory for every team.
Yes.
I don't understand why that would clarify everything. And that would create no problems.
I agree. I don't know why they didn't go with that, but it takes a spot. So, again, I don't think you're carrying three unless you have an injury situation with one of your top two. And in the Titans situation, like, again, I would just go wildcat with Henry or put Byard, who played high school quarterback, back there. I mean, he threw a 60-yard touchdown pass once. I mean, on a fake punt. Like,
bring Randall out of retirement.
if you're down to that, you're in dire straits. And all this is for is to not have the broadcasters, to not have Joe Buck point out the fact that Brock Purdy can't throw a pass in the postseason.
I think what it is, honestly, they don't want to expand the rosters. They don't want to expand.
No, they don't.
53. They don't want to go to 54 because then it means expand the payroll. Then we got to, how many guys do we dress? Do we dress 47, 48 people? Mm-hmm. You know, so we'd do it this way where it's not clearly defined, but it is. And teams may use it. They're banking on teams not using it at all. That's what they're banking. They're banking, we'll have it there just in case, but we expect no team in the league to use it, really. Because last year was one of those years where we really thought about it when San Francisco, all their quarterbacks went down.
And again, like, San Francisco had two quarterbacks on their roster and practice squad combined that week. Like, at some point, just look to the team and their decision-making instead of making a rule to back up the fact that everyone's upset that Brock Purdy's elbow got hurt. Like, I'm looking around going, where are we in this realm of just voting through things where the third quarterback or the fourth quarterback? In San Francisco's case, it would have been like their sixth quarterback playing that season. And I'm not trying to like point all everything at them, but it is the Purdy rule. Like, but at the same time, they chose to go into that week with two quarterbacks and they put Jake Fromm. And the idea that your third quarterback is going to make a difference really doesn't hold weight with me. Like, if you're down to that guy, you're handing the ball off most of the time anyway.
And
it shouldn't count on your roster and it shouldn't count on game day. It should go back to the other rule. But Willie, you're right. I mean, and Mace, you're also right. They don't want to pay that guy if he plays more than however many weeks to be a vested vet. They don't want to like speed that process up, so this guy doesn't necessarily count on the game day roster unless it's in a dire situation.
That's dumb.
Like, I agree.
I think the choice should be, if you want to risk losing him off your practice squad during the week, that's one thing. But you should be able to take a third quarterback and make him, if you want to see on game day, the 46th guy.
Essentially,
right?
Yes.
Essentially. Then that is what you do. You elevate him on game day, and every team should have to do it. And then you choose whether you want him on your 53 to protect him from being grabbed off from another team or not. That's your choice. So I don't understand why they didn't do it that way.
But Mace is correct, though. So actually, you can have a 46th player based on the recent collective bargaining agreement. That's one thing the players have, which is another player that becomes a vested vet quicker. So if you carry 46 on game day, you have to have 8 offensive linemen active. That's just part of the rule. So this would be a 47th player. So that's why they didn't do it the way it used to be, because that guy would become he would earn an accrued game towards an accrued season, which would make him a vested vet after 3 years faster than a practice squad player would actually catch on to a roster. Again, it comes down to, do they want to pay the dude's salary or not, and how much are they paying? And they don't want to pay the roster minimum. They want to pay him whatever he's getting to practice against, you know, the guys throughout the week on the practice squad.
And I really don't think that this is going to be something that we see come up very frequently. I mean, San Francisco's situation last year was so much the exception and not the rule. We just saw a rule be enacted because of it. But last one for you, Hutton. Tim Kelly at the podium yesterday. You feel good about your receiver situation? Yep. Out of the Mike Vrabel playbook. What was your take on what Tim Kelly had to say about the receivers yesterday?
I heard that and I thought, of course he doesn't feel good about the Rock.
Yeah,
I mean,
duh. Does anyone?
Ryan Tannehill was more honest about it. I mean, whenever he was like, well, I mean, we have our group. I mean, Tim Kelly and Ryan Tannehill, this is who they have. Like, the debate about whether or not Treylon Burks is a number one guy, he's their number one guy. He's got to be. But that's the decisions they made in the offseason. They have set themselves up for this. And I mean, injuries happen. Players become available. They're not done adding players to this group. They can't be. I'm looking at the depth chart, just scratching my head going, please, like this can't continue as it is. Based on, I mean, yesterday Vrabel's complained about Christian Fulton not being there. I'm thinking about the wide receivers that they could have had that they passed on not being there. Like that's where my mentality is, that they are not done with this Caroline, and you know, hopefully they can make some roster space or when I say roster space, salary cap space, if Kevin Beyer takes a pay cut. I say that in jest, but that's where they are right now.
A question, right? Can they leave Byard's contract as is and still do the other things they want to do? For example, if they wanted to go get another wide receiver.
Does it have to be addressed somewhere?
See, that's the thing. That's the pressing question.
But they don't really gain anything if they cut him on the cap. They either trade him or he takes a pay cut. It's not like they can cut him and gain something like they could with Tannehill. And I'm using Tannehill because he's got the biggest chunk of what we're comparing things to post June 1st. If they wanted something, they could have done something about this. But the time to do it was in April/May, early May, in the draft and then post draft. But they went into OTAs and they're pointing to, you know, depth and guys not there. I'm simply saying it's got to be better than what it is. And Tim Kelly and Vrabel, they all know that. I mean, it's not anywhere close to any of the competition they're going to face this year. Their wide receiving core right now, they are the Arizona Cardinals version. The Arizona Cardinals are the one team who is not favored in a single game right now in Vegas. Every line's out for every week. The wide receiving core will not be favored against any defensive backfield right now for the Tennessee Titans, based on what they're lining up with in September.
So when Mike Vrabel said at the end of the draft, "You're going to trust me, we're going to get this figured out." Okay, Mike, prove to me that I can trust you that you're going to get this receiver situation figured out, because you haven't yet. Right. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Hutton, appreciate you as always. We'll chat next Wednesday.
Yeah, thank you guys. Always really enjoy this. Have a great week.
Awesome. Thanks, Hutton. Appreciate you. Coming up next, we'll take a quick Titans breather. Is what we're seeing in one situation, one contract situation in the NHL, maybe a little bit of a foreshadowing of what's to come for UC Soros? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Billy, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.